Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Bog right here on Dave Martell YouTube channel every single Monday and Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you like, subscribe, share here. Make sure to check us out over on, what's that other video, John, we're using now? I can't remember what it's called. Odyssey. Go check us out on Odyssey. We're over there, too. But if you like The Bog, you support The Bog, make sure to go to patreon.com/TheBog and sign up. There's a tier for everybody, $5 all the way up to $50. And you can get a mug, you get a sticker, you get all that kind of good stuff. So if you like us, you want to help us grow, help us keep the lights on, go over to patreon.com/TheBog and sign up. And most importantly, you will get RSS feed for the audio of every single show that we do to listen to in your car, on your commutes, at work, or at the gym. That is patreon.com/TheBog. You want to support us another way, make sure you go to shop.spreadshirt.com/BogShop. I'm telling you guys, dude, white boy summer is here. Why do you not have a Bog sleeveless or a Bog muscle shirt? Ladies, we got Bog sundresses. We got sweet Bog merch over there at shop.spreadshirt.com/BogShop. And I know the esoteric order of grill dads are listening. Guys, I'm telling you, we got artisan chef aprons so you can flex on your friends when you got the sacred coals aflame and you're torching up some sweet bratwursts, some steaks, pork chops, whatever you got going on there. I know everybody likes grilling. Get yourself a Bog chef apron for manning the grill. If you want to support one of our friends, make sure you go to facebook.com/IronAgeJodish and check out some authentic ancient Vedic astrology. It's so cool. You guys saw the interview we did with Neil John a couple months ago. The guy's a genius. Guy's literally a genius. He's incredible. That stuff is awesome. I got a reading. Pretty much everybody on the Bog panel's gotten a reading. It's really, really great stuff. People message me all the time about how much they love it. So go to facebook.com/IronAgeJodish and check it out. If you decide to get a reading, make sure to tell them Big Dave sent you. Tell them Big Dave sent you. Well, tonight is Monday, and we are going to do what we're calling the family bog. The family bog. Come on in, ladies and children, and have a seat while we talk about bog stuff. But tonight we are not going to be talking about necessarily bog stuff. We're going to be talking about more pragmatic, practical stuff, which is conduct. We're going to talk about conduct. Conduct in our everyday lives as heathens, as believers in the ancient faith. Conduct within the context of tribal ethics. We're going to talk about conduct as far as how we carry ourselves. This is stuff that's present in the Havamal. You know what I mean? This is present in the Havamal. Every single heathen listening, all you guys either have, and if you have it, you should read the Havamal. It's in the Poetic Edda. It's one of our most important texts. And then throughout the Havamal is tons and tons of practical advice when it comes to personal, tribal conduct. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We've got a few things we want to talk about. But with me, returning is Miss Swan and Andre. What's going on?
Hello.
What's going on, Dave?
Not too much. So, Mr. Andre, we're going to talk about conduct tonight. What do you wanted to, you before we came in here, one of your points was, I want to talk about just being normal. And I thought, I was like, you know, that definitely makes sense. So, Andre, tell us about, what do you got to say tonight?
That's absolutely one of the main points that I wanted to bring up when it comes to proper conduct, because it's not just about large behavior in within your own communities or your own personal little chat groups or Facebook groups, where a lot of things can happen. People tend to want to develop echo chambers. And once that happens, people start developing weird speech patterns, weird habits, weird conversation topics. And we all know someone or many people that can be like this.
People are talking memes.
What they don't realize is that, yeah, people are literally talking and living as living memes. And we often use the word LARP as a kind of a dismissive insult towards this kind of behavior. But this is actually kind of a problem that people need to address. It's something that people need to sit down and look real hard at. And like, if you have a friend or something that's starting to act a bit out of place and a bit weird, sit down with him, tell him why this is not okay, and why, as much as it's it can really suck to admit that you want to or need to adapt to wider society at large. You still live in that society. You haven't moved to your pristine commune in the forest quite yet.
Well, if that is ever going to happen, if you keep behaving that way.
You're living in a suburb. You're not exactly in your own tribal town in year 1000 Norway.
Well, the thing is also that behaving unacceptable ways, I want to say, also really limits your opportunity, right? So it actually limits your opportunity to get to the point that you were just mentioning to your based pagan.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people seem to think that they can and will act what they presume their ancestors acted like and just take what they want and be dressed how they want because this is about personal freedom. But something that, for instance, Dave has pointed out several times, and I agree with as well, the proper conduct and being dressed properly and nicely will get you extremely far in life. Just being polite, nice, well-dressed, somewhat well-groomed, and an acceptable person, a lot of people will actually sit down and listen to what you have to say. People are not so hostile towards our, frankly, somewhat strange and occasionally alien ideas, to modern sensibilities at least. But if it comes from someone who looks like a serious guy, they're going to listen. If it looks like someone you might see on a corner of a street doing things that you shouldn't be doing at the corner of a street, they're not going to listen.
Well, and also that comes usually from them not being able to identify with you, right? They don't think that what you have to say is in any way applicable to their life. If you behave in a way or if you look a certain way that they think has nothing to do with them at all, you know what I mean? So if they perceive you as part of their general society, you know, their circle in some way, then they are interested in what you have to say and they think it's relevant to them in some way. And it's not just an oddity to listen to and then dismiss.
Yeah, I agree with all of that stuff, you know. I'll be honest with you guys, like I'm not like of what we could say normie culture. I don't go hang out with people that are like going to the sports bar every single day and stuff like that. I very much hang out with my community. I do. But I can go in and out and I could be, you know, completely normal and people don't even know. And because I am, and you know, I'm also not the inside, the outgoing kind of guy. Extroverted. I'm an extroverted guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I try to dress nice. I try to have good manners, and I'm an extroverted guy. So I could say mostly whatever I want outside of the most extreme, egregious things, and people will listen to what I have to say. Now, I don't have, like, you know, this kind of – there is a problem on the internet where especially among the younger generations, that they do not find kinship and friendship and they don't find a community in real life, so they find like-minded people on the internet. Now, we all know the pitfalls of this. You know, you don't get the actual in-person sensory stimulation. You don't get the sensory learning. You're not in person to learn mannerisms and all of these kinds of things. You're kind of learning this, like, sterilized, perverted, like, techno-socialization kind of thing. So what happens is these memes and and I say based in real life all the time. I'm not sorry. I say things are base. I say things are lit. I say things are cringe. I say people know what I'm talking about. But I do know people. In fact, there's one guy specifically that I know over the internet. I have had to pull him aside, meaning message him over, like, on Facebook or whatever, and tell him, but look, these people that you're replying to in my comments have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. You're making zero sense because they don't understand this kind of talk. And he would go through it. He would edit these comments multiple times, and I would just have to delete them because it's like, it's confusing my friends in real life. Have no idea what he's talking about. It's confusing them. It's pissing them off. They think that he's making fun of them or saying something nasty to them. So it's like this guy is so ill-equipped to even associate and socialize with normal people. And I'm not saying that normal people with. I'm not appealing to normalcy or to the populace or anything like that, but we need to have the ability to be able to communicate with the world, as Ms. Swan said, so we could be successful and have opportunities. If you go into your job interview and tell your boss that he's cringe, that ain't going to be cool. That's going to be weird. You're probably not going to get that job, bro.
No. Well, that's just it. I mean, the other thing is that this is actually not, that is something that should go without saying. I mean, even my children understand that they can't behave the exact same way regardless of the situation or the setting that they are in, right? They understand that they have to behave differently when we are in public than when they're at home. They behave differently when they're at a pool or at the beach than when they are in the street or in the store, right? I mean, these are very basic things that we learn as young humans. And you would expect adults to sort of be clued in already, but apparently this is something that does need to be addressed. And I think one of the main reasons why is because any sort of, and I mean, we are a sort of a fringe movement, if you are a fringe group in that sense, any fringe group attracts weirdos. So that is something that needs to be sort of addressed in the way that, and we're just because we aren't the mainstream doesn't mean this is sort of like a holding cell for every fucking weirdo.
That's a good point. Just because you're kind of a fringe movement doesn't mean you have to accept or tolerate every person of the entire spectrum. Because you got normal guys, you got slightly edgy but intelligent, they're very clever guys, and then you have nutcases.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to tolerate absolutely everybody. And as for the normie question, when nobody's telling anybody here, and we use the word normies when we're referring to normal people, just the generalized population, you don't need to accept them. You don't need to become part of them. What you need to do is cultivate the skill to where you can basically slither in and around them without being too
detected.
Remarkable. Yeah, you want to remain undetected while based on the inside.
Yeah. But and also, we're not saying this to to flex on people that may have trouble, because I'm going to be honest with you guys, especially you guys that are older millennials and up, guys that are our age and up, ladies that are our age and up, we kind of missed the bullet on this. We're not saying this to be nasty to the younger guys. This is just the environment that they walked into. This is just the environment that was available. They're just kind of contouring, habituating to their environment. This is the social environment that they grew up in. They didn't have the pleasure of growing up in the 90s, flipping pogs with your buddies and eating 3D Doritos and watching Street Sharks. They didn't have that. They didn't have cool BMX bikes and jumping their mongooses and all that kind of stuff. They didn't have that. What they have to do is something different, something that we're not used to. And we have to understand that these guys do have a different life experience. And even though they do have a different life experience, and it does seem a little weird to us, and it does seem a little cringe to us, these are still our little brothers. These are still our little brothers and sisters, and we're in it together. We love them. We care about them. So we're saying this not to flex on them and get a big dick about it. We're doing this because we care about them, and we want them to be successful in life, and we want them to join the community and be well adjusted and equipped to deal with the world as fellow members of the folk.
Well, yeah, and you know what I was just thinking as you said that, this is almost a little bit of an irony actually, but I do believe that the mainstream currently is furthering outlandish behavior too, right? So we basically have a mainstream that isn't really enforcing normal, sensible conduct or rules of behavior or interaction, and everybody is supposed to be who they are, within that framework that is okay with the mainstream, so everybody is supposed to just be free, quote unquote, right, within what they identify as or what they think they are, and everyone's supposed to accept that. But I mean, we need to be sort of a counterweight to that and bring people back to a more centered, livable and practical version of that, of your personal freedom and where that ends, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There is something to be said here, though. That I think the reason why we have ended up in a situation where, I guess, kind of as you say, like normalcy has gone out the window. Mm-hmm. Normalcy, you know, it's if it's not dead, it's very, very threatened, at least in the West, that is. And that's mainly because of the what Dave mentioned here. We have an entire generation that were raised connected to the internet. From a very young age, you could go on the internet and you could find the most niche type of communities and groups of people who only agree with you and only like the things you like. Well, if you grew up in the 90s or any time prior to that, what people tend to forget is that socialization is a really painful and awkward process to go through. It can be really bad sometimes to go out there without knowing what to do, what to say, and just really stumble and fall. And that's a learning experience that a lot of people don't actually understand anymore.
Well, I mean, it's also being, people are asked to simply accept every weird kind of behavior, right? I mean, there is a demand that people demand that you accept to, you know, it starts with this pronoun stuff, right? You're supposed to just simply accept what somebody demands of you that is totally outside of ordinary conduct, and we're supposed to just roll with it.
Yeah.
And we're just pretending like there's no problem.
It's normalized on both sides of the coin in what they call mainstream culture. And it's not mainstream culture. It's just shoved down our throats by the you-know-who's in the media.
Media culture. Yeah.
That we're supposed to accept, you know, people pretending that they're these bizarre genders and like all this. We don't even need to go into this kind of stuff. Everybody listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. But this culture of you must accept my bizarre conduct isn't just there. It's among ourselves as well. You know, there's mm-hmm. people in our cultures on this side of things that are functionally the same way. They're absolutely mm-hmm. bizarre. They say egregious, ridiculous things. They believe things that are completely detached from reality. And if you say, I don't want you around, you're a coward, or you're a traitor or a backstabber or something. No. To accept somebody among your ranks, whether they be virtual or physical, that is unhinged, that is not a good person, is not cowardice. It is the proper conduct to do. Never accept weirdos into your tribe, be them on the internet or, more importantly, in real life. And there's a couple things in the chat I want to hit real quick here. Some guys had some really good things to say. Wolfram says, ain't nothing wrong with behaving according to your surrounding culture, as long as it's not too urbanized, which is where you shouldn't live anyway. He's right. You know, you should be able to. I'll tell you what, I don't really watch sports anymore. I might catch the Super Bowl or something, because that's what, you know, friends of the family, they get together, they watch the Super Bowl. It's an American pastime. Do I agree with everything that they do? No, I don't. But I used to love sports. I used to really love sports. And what that gives me is now I can have the tools to talk about sports to people that want to talk about sports. If I'm at a job interview or I'm socializing with people and they're sports fans, I'll bring up when I was a fan of sports. Or I'll bring up who I think the greatest of all time was. Or, you know, I think Larry Bird was the greatest of all time because he had the best Euro step and he had the best passes. John Stockton still holds the NBA record for passes and assists and, like, steals and assists, I mean. Like, this is the kind of stuff that I can. I don't watch basketball anymore. I don't watch football much anymore. But I still have that knowledge and I still have that ability to communicate and to connect with regular people in everyday life. So, another couple quick comments. Project D Stagnation, if that's my boy, give me a shout here. I want to I want to give you a shout too. But Destagnation says, the large majority of people online are very autistic, especially in this sphere. Thus, the social awkwardness is definitely there. Thankfully, we have videos like this that might help with it. That's very kind words, very kind words. And then our buddy Ulfric says, I am working with a guy that seems autistic but isn't. His mannerisms have just decayed to the point that communication outside of the internet is hard. Just having him stay with me for a few weeks changed him a lot. Very, very good work, Mr. Ulfric. That's what I'm talking about.
This actually really underlines it. Yeah, you know, exactly. This is a really amazing example, actually, that the environment that we live in right now is breeding outlandish behavior, right? And as you said in your intro, basically speaking like a living meme or behaving like a living meme, a lot of people actually fall under that umbrella.
Yeah.
And there's a competition, honestly, when you end up in these kinds of groups where one says something bad, someone else has to top them on the social ladder by saying something worse and worse.
It's true. I'm guilty.
So you end up in a really like toxic mentality where you always have to be like, even if you don't believe it, you have to say something far worse than the guy on underneath you here. And this causes problems with socialization.
Yeah,
that's why I don't like that idea that saying like, oh, there's a lot of people online that are autistic. There's a lot of autistic people online, yes, but a lot of people who seem like they might actually be autistic, don't let them get the free card out by just being bored, weird, or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually
they are badly
relevant.
Socialized, and it's their fault, and it's the community's fault, and it's your responsibility to drag them out of that mire.
And we're not at all saying anything negative about people who might be on the autism spectrum. It's very, very common.
No, that's not what it's about.
Yeah, so I just want to get that clear for folks out there that might be on the – I have many, many friends and little buddies that are on the spectrum. My first son is on the spectrum. I have many friends that have children on the spectrum. So in no way are we saying that being autistic is a negative thing. What we're saying is that developing these traits through over-socialization in the technosphere is a negative thing. And then I just want to make a quick announcement here. I want to shout out my boy Destagnation. He's not, I don't know if he wants me to say his name, but actually, speaking of people that have their social circles on the internet, Destagnation is a Zoomer, young guy, has most of his social circles on the internet. I actually met him through those social circles on the internet. He came to my river moot a couple months ago to hang out, and I was like, he turns out he lived pretty close to me, so we've been hanging out. He's all in becoming a heathen. He's learning, he's reading all kinds of stuff. And actually this last weekend, on Saturday, my kindred had our midsummer thing, and he begun his novitiate period to be fully inducted into my clan. So much love and congratulations and hail.
Congrats.
To Destagnation, getting out behind the screen and joining the community.
Congratulations.
Yeah, good for you.
So we're half hour in already, so I kind of wanted to hop over to some of these other conduct related, because we could talk all night about this thing and solutions for it and stuff like that. But I would probably say the number one solution, if what we're talking about here applies to you or people that you know, the number one solution is join the community, which is what you probably should have been doing anyways. But you need to join the community. You need to have a close-knit local group of people, friends, family, whatever. You need a close-knit people around you that, you know, are your community, so you can hang out with them and socialize with them and get that real human interaction. And then from there, you can kind of, you know, destagnate and lose the I don't know what the word is for it, the being integrated, deintegrate from the system and reclaim your humanity. So join the community, find some people in your area, build a tribe if you can't. If you have to move, move. If you, make it happen. Get out, put the screen down, go hang out with your boys.
digital detox is generally a good idea no matter what position you are in.
I like that, digital detox. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely, we do live in times where a lot of the contacts are online. I mean, myself included, I have a lot of my friends only online, but it's not a substitute for real interaction. And, you know, even if the people around you aren't heathens or whatever, you know, if they, you don't agree with them on everything, that's actually also something that people are unlearning currently and need to learn again, is to get along with people who do have different opinions. They aren't bad people because they don't agree with you. You know, there are wonderful people out there who are very, you know, who have a very good head on their shoulders and who would actually listen to you if you came down from your tower and stopped behaving super weirdly. And perhaps you would even, you know, have something to say that they want to listen to, and you could perhaps even influence them, you know, but for that, you have to talk to them and you have to get out there.
Yeah. I even have friends that are like liberals in real life.
Mm-hmm, me too. Yeah. Oh, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. They're, you know, we banter and argue and stuff like that, but he's my boy. They're my boys. Mm-hmm. I play Xbox with them. I play tabletop games with them. I worked with them in places, and we got along famously because, you know, either we both love, you know, gaming, or we both love, you know, like whatever, you know, Pulp Fiction, whatever it is that we bond over. Our friendship and our cohesive personalities transcends our politics, even though his takes are gay and he's completely wrong about everything. They're still my friends. You know what I mean? I still love them. Mm-hmm. I still care about them. I still wish them the best. I pray one day that they get over the dumb stuff that they believe, but they're still good people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just going to have to look past such things like just generalized politics. And honestly, seeing how things are going, it kind of breaks my heart when you can see very strong relationships within families and between children and parents and siblings just break apart based on minor disagreements.
Well, and oftentimes because a person hasn't learned when to shut up, honestly.
Yeah. Or how to compromise. That's a vital skill.
Honestly, like within a family too, the other thing is actually, and this is maybe something that we might want to hit on too a little bit here, is something like, you know, respect and age. You know, a lot of people have forgotten that even if you disagree with your elders, they're still your elders, and there is a certain way that you are allowed to talk to them and behave towards them, and there is a way that is out of line, and a lot of people are out of line with their elders.
Yeah, you don't get a choice. You don't get a choice in that.
No, honestly, grandma and grandpa knows what they're talking about. They've been here far longer than you have.
And even if they don't, they're still your grandma,
grandpa. Even if they don't. Exactly. Yeah, even if they don't know what they're talking about.
And what I meant is, like, you're supposed to kind of treat them like they know what they're talking about, despite that.
And that's, you know, and the thing is, the only thing that could get hurt when you just shut up and give these people their proper space is your ego.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly it. And I say this to a lot of folks, like, oh, the stupid boomers. Let's be honest, there's a lot of stupid boomers. There really, truly is. But let me tell you something. Your mom and your dad, your grandpa and your grandma, they're still your dad, your mom, and your grandpa and your grandma. And their takes might be ridiculous and terrible, but they're still your elders. You know, who are we? Yep. Are we people that observe hierarchy and order and tradition? Or are we libertarians that think that we should be able to just do and say whatever we want? A lot of people claim these hierarchical ideologies, but are just functionally libertarian liberals anyways. Somebody, Donning Armor said in the chat, he said his friends were banging and drugging. He needed to separate. Sucks to let it go. Let me tell you something. He also said he has a friend, and he hasn't one friend. He hasn't seen him in 2 years. Donning Armor, let me tell you something. If your friends were doing that stuff and you bounced out because you had to separate from it and they're not hitting you up anymore, they were never your friends.
Yep.
So that's hard to do sometimes, to just cut people like that out of your life. But it's true what Dave says. If they didn't even bother to try and get back to you, they're not really your friend.
Yeah, they were never your friend in the first place.
I mean, so, to be fair, that is hard to, that is often hard to really understand, like, where you stand with somebody. And that it's harder nowadays because our social structures are much less ritualized, right? We don't usually know where we stand with somebody unless they're old friends or if we've actually talked to them about it. Because, the conduct thing also goes into the general public, where a lot of the time people don't really know how to behave towards somebody, you know, what is appropriate, what isn't. So I understand that it is a hard thing to do nowadays, for especially for young people who don't have a lot of practice with it.
Yeah. It's tough times. So let's move into some of these other practical things about maybe folks have gotten past what we were initially talking about, and they feel like they're ready to either get into the community or build the community. And sometimes when this happens, when you get into this, man, people are people. People are always going to be people. People are always going to do dumb stuff. I love my clan. I love my kindred. My kindred right now is probably... It's probably the most normal, least amount of drama, least amount of stuff. But overwhelmingly, if you get a bunch of people together organizing, there is going to be drama, there's going to be fights, there's going to be feuds, there's going to be disagreements. And you as a community or a budding community leader must have the ability or the knowledge or at least the motivation to get in and resolve these things. So, Andre, tell us about feuds, because you in Norway know a little something about feuds.
Oh boy, do I know about feuds. Well, just as a quick disclaimer at first, this is from the perspective of someone born and raised in Norway in a small rural community. In this case, when you're dealing with feuds, you're talking about two larger families that have been going at each other and just fighting each other, disagreeing with each other, just being unpleasant towards one another for as long as you basically can remember. My own family has had feuds that we don't even remember how it started, but we just kind of keep going at it. And that's really something that can strain on the internal consistency of a family or a larger tribe in general. And the way that we usually have ended up solving it has been that the feud just kind of goes as it goes. You try to be diplomatic, you try to maybe not make it as bad as it possibly could, but you never quite stop it unless there is something or someone from the outside of the clan or the family that shows up and tries to get involved with that.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like siblings fighting.
Yes, like it's similar, very similar. It's the same functionality that we have. It's like you don't air your dirty laundry to the outside. Everything that happens in family stays within the four walls of the house. If you disagree with your siblings, you can hate your siblings. On the outside, however, you put up a unified front. You and your siblings are loyal to the end. You're loyal to death and beyond. There is no cracks. There's no fragments or anything like that that anybody can grab a hold of and use against you. If you're in a family feud, someone else is going to be looking for those cracks within your family to try and break you apart. That's why you need to put up a unified front and make sure that any sort of like bad things or disagreements doesn't necessarily get out. That's difficult to do, and that sounds somewhat dystopian to some people, that you're supposed to be that enclosed and you're not supposed to step on too many toes, basically. But it's a precarious situation when you're living in a small community, 40, 50, 60, maybe 100 members. If one thing happens, the entire place can spiral out of control.
Yeah, that's way so. I grew up in a small town. Like, I grew up in a small town of like a few thousand people or something. And everybody knows everybody's business all the time. There's one thing happens, everybody knows. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's just I can't remember somebody who said it. Somebody based once said that if three people know about your deeds, or what is it? If three or more people know about your deeds, then everybody knows about your deeds. And let me tell you, that is in a small town, that happens like overnight. The next day, your buddy, you know, who you've talked to in a year, texts you. He's like, "Yo, what happened with that? What'd you do with her? Why is she saying this?" And then it's just like it's crazy. But
of course,
going back down to the micro level, some of these, especially for us as heathens that put that are building these tribes, that are building these kindreds, these clans, we are going to run into, and I'm telling you guys from experience, my clan is going to, this Yule going to be 9 years old. We have had our fair share of troubles. Thankfully, you know, we're past the growing pains stage of our development, and we have a pretty good grasp on what we're doing and how to build things and how to vet people. Tristan says, three people can keep a secret if you kill two of them. that's true. Yeah, but anyway, some of the pitfalls you can run into with being a member of a kindred are can be pretty tough to deal with. And let me tell you, say you go, you take Foster Academy, or you go in and you do all your book learning. You know how to conduct bloat. You know all the metaphysics, and you have great leadership skills, and you put together your aesthetics and like your crest, and everything looks hunky dory. You're gonna get curveballs. Every single, like, throughout your career as leading a community, you're going to get curveballs. People are going to do retarded things. That's what people do. They do retarded things. But the point is that you love these retards. Yeah, they're your retards. So you gotta figure out how to fix it, or at least how to minimize the damage. One of the things that I bring up a lot, in regards to building a clan, is this situation. You guys out there, that if you haven't experienced this, you will experience this. You have a young guy that joins your kindred. He's in there for a while. He meets a girl. He brings her around. She converts. She becomes part of the clan. Everything's hunky-dory. They're looking like they're going to get married. The relationship explodes. They now hate each other. This girl's now part of your clan as a single woman, and now you are stuck with these two people that absolutely hate each other's guts. This is a problem. This is a problem. Mister, have either of you experienced anything like this?
It does happen, yeah. Yeah. So it's common, actually. It happens more often than you'd think, if you haven't been in groups like this before, but it happens all the time.
And Ms. Swan,
and
how
a lot of
you,
the time,
yeah,
I mean,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
A lot of the time, you're going to have to sort of take sides. You know, it can be very difficult, and you can get into a really tight spot there as well with your judgment, right? Because I think, first of all, if you do sort of lead a group of people, which I have not, and I don't think I ever will. But if you do lead a group of people, you do have to sort of act as a counselor as well. And you have to sort of try and be as neutral as you possibly can be, and really use your understanding of what's right, you know, in terms of religious law, if you will, and moral law. You have to sort of take that standpoint more than anything. You can't really let your personal preference of a person take the lead, you know what I mean, in the decision, how you're going to treat these people. A lot of the time, these situations sort of kind of solve themselves because these people don't really want to be in the same group together, and one of them is going to give up. That is my experience most of the time, is that you lose one of them.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit. One of them will usually leave, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, sometimes, like in my case, they don't. And now you have both of them, and they can't stand being in a room together. So here's the thing with relationships, especially with young people, is they get over it, right? They eventually, it's not like it's I'm not old enough to experience having a clan with a divorce between two people that have been in the clan for 30 years or something like that, been married for longer. I have not experienced something like that. But with the young people, When you have both and neither of them seem to be interested in leaving, and they are both oathed, the best thing really to do is just to do your best to keep them separated. Have events that you could have in mind. You're always going to have it in the back of your mind. How do I keep these people apart? Because you don't want them sitting next to each other and either ending up in a big fight or maybe having a little too much to drink and then going home together and then it gets worse. That happens too.
Oh, dear.
You don't want that.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
So you want to be able to solve this situation. But if you do have to choose sides, obviously the first to be oathed is the person you have to side with.
Well, then also, I mean, it depends on how this thing happened, right? I mean, even if the first oathed person takes precedence in your mind, it could also be that they did something heinous, you know, to make the relationship fall apart. So, you know, I guess you have to be brave enough to say uncomfortable things to people. I think that's the main thing here. You can't make everybody happy. Usually you can't make anybody happy. You just have to sort of be fair and you have to be reasonable, right?
Yeah. Obviously, you do have to. And here's another thing you have to understand. When you are in a clan, especially as a couple, if something like this happens, the people in your clan are going to be up in your business. They have to know the mm-hmm. things. You can't just say, oh, well, it's our own personal private thing. That's not a thing. You know, I mean, if you want your own personal, private, little, secret squirrel life, you gotta go be out. You gotta go out into modernity and go live as a liberal. You know, go be an urbanite or something. That's not how this works. If you have a nasty breakup and you're both oathed by holy law, your gavi or your alderman has to investigate because he has to make a hard decision. You know, so mm-hmm. he's got to look into what happened. Were you punching your girlfriend in the face? You know, was she, you know, hooking up with the bartender at her work? Or was it that you guys just didn't get along and it was a toxic relationship and nobody was at fault? You know, he's got to know these mm-hmm. kinds of things. It's there's a lot that goes into it, but keep these things in mind and kind of develop procedures every time you run into one of these kinds of debacles so you know the next time something similar like that happens, you know how to handle it succinctly and with little mess.
I guess the other thing that actually plays into this as well, and you said the word vetting earlier,
yeah,
is to be very sure of who enters your group. You know, don't be too rash with, oh, I want people, I need people, it doesn't matter who, let's just, you know, gather numbers. So, I mean, this is the old quality over quantity thing, right? You don't want to just acquire a whole bunch of retards. You need to make sure that the people that you have in your circle are solid. And then it's better to have three really solid people than 10 absolute, you know, idiots that can't get anything right.
Yeah, or worse yet, some sort of thief or philanderer or just some
happens
kind of
too.
Rotten person.
Happens too, yeah.
Yeah, it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
Vetting. That's the number one thing. I'm telling you, when you're building a community. For my clan, I have to get to know you. I have to know who you are. I have to meet you. I have to talk to you. You have to come hang out with us, and you have to be a personality fit. You got to get on. You got to be tolerant of our sense of humor. You got to fit in with the people. You got to be one of us. And then after I discern whether or not that you are one of us, then we you know, see how you develop a little bit, and then we put you in the novitiate period. And to be a novitiate in my clan takes an entire year. You have to finish reading materials. You have to come to 3 of the 4 main events, plus some other ones, and you have to pass a test. And then after that, you get to go into what we call the Heath. And the Heath is like kind of you're officially an oath member of the clan, and then you're there for an indeterminate amount of time, and then from there you can get lifted up once more. But there are many, many gates to go through to get to who we are, to become who we part of us. So, you know, when we first started, so however many years ago, we were a little bit, you know, willy nilly with who we let around, and it blew up in our faces a couple times. You know, we had some people that weren't a good fit. And then here's another thing. There are some people that are very good at camouflaging their flaws and their bad behaviors. And they come off and they think that you think that they're cool and they're great. And then it starts to leak out a little bit. And those people are predators, and they're not you don't want them.
You have to keep your watch. I mean, essentially, if you are the leader, or if you organize a group like that, you are responsible for protecting the perimeter. You are the person who is protecting the people who are already in the group, you know, especially women, children, you know, people who could be in danger if somebody is actually a terrible person. You can't let them in. And that's your responsibility. So if you do want to lead a group, that comes with a burden, right? It comes also with the burden of having to be an asshole sometimes. You know, maybe you're going to have to really disappoint somebody. You're going to have to say some hard words, and you can't shy away from that.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. There's been a couple times we had to tell people, like, I don't know if you're a good fit. And then it's not that they're bad people. They're decent people, but they're just not a good fit for us, you know? And because you want that cohesion, you want that gelling of personalities, and because when you have that cohesion and that high trust and these things that build you, people build really true friendships, people then begin to really love each other. And when people really love each other and care about each other, it's no longer just this secular, you know, religious thing. It's now, these people are my family. If you come to one of my events, my kids and everybody calls each other aunts and uncles. You know, I'm Uncle Dave. I go into the event, all the kids, oh, Uncle Dave's here. And, you know, it's just how it is. We are a family. We are an extended religious family. And in order to build that, which is very, very precious and very, very special, it requires a lot of vetting. It takes a long time. And let me tell you something. It's better to have what I'm talking about and it being five people as opposed to this big giant organization with 100 people, and you don't even know who's who and what's what. It's better to have a bunch of little groups than to have one big, you know, monstrosity.
I mean, we've sort of been directing a lot of this towards people who might want to lead a group. But I mean, on the flip side, if you want to join a group, that is also relevant, again, with what we started the conversation with the conduct, you know, be respectful, behave appropriately, don't, you know, be a walking meme, don't think that you can impress the person who may be vetting you with, you know, being edgy. That is really important, that you are authentic and that you are, that you really understand that if you want to join a group, you will have to be a functional member of it, and you're going to have people relying on you, and you can't just, you know, it's not like a fun adventure game or something like that. You're going to actually enter into essentially contracts with people.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Picking Gaz says have some standards. Mr. Andre, you had something to say.
What I wanted to say is that, very similar to what Swan said here, is that you're not just joining a fan group. This isn't just a fan group. This isn't a guild in Skyrim. What you're joining is a family unit, an extended family unit. And as a result, you need to be able to act as you would with a family unit. And you need to be ready and prepared to extend the same type of honor, hospitality, and loyalty towards the other people in the group as you expect to be shown towards you when you join the group as well. A lot of people expect a lot of things while giving not very much in return.
Yeah. Yep. As Ms. Swan said, don't go in there trying to be edgy, cool guy, proving everybody wrong, or shocking, or anything. The number one thing that community builders, and Ms. Swan's right, I've been directing this mostly at people that want to build communities. But most people should not be trying to build communities. Most people should be trying to join communities. And there's apps, you're not lesser, you're not, you know, and I say this all the time, we need more farmers than we do thought leaders. Everybody wants to be a thought leader. Yeah. Everybody wants to be a chief.
Everyone wants to be a Jarl. Leader.
Yeah. Yeah. There can only be a couple Jarls. Most people are Carls or Bondymen. You know what I mean? So, and I'm going to tell you, if you're wondering whether or not you should try to build, if there's absolutely nothing in your area for miles, then you should probably think about trying to build one if you are built for it. Some people are not built for it. If you are somebody that really cares about people, you're somebody who has some charisma and these types of skills, then you can go in and think about building. And I would suggest building with people that you are old-time friends with that you know in and out. I'm talking, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years minimum. You want to build a core with like two of these types of people. And from there, then you can start, once you establish your core, start letting people in. But for those of you that are maybe don't have these skills, and most people don't have these skills, and there's nothing at all wrong with that. Most people are average. That's why it's called average. There's nothing at all wrong with that. When you want to, if you want to go join a community, you want to have good conduct. And one of the things that when you first get there, you want to look good. You want to look respectable. You want to speak respectable. You want to be likable. You know, tell some jokes. Be friendly. Don't talk about the politics and the philosophy and the heavy subjects. Talk about something regular. Tell some funny stories. Offer to help. That's another thing. Offer to help. You want to prove that you're likable and that most of all you're trustworthy. Trust is the biggest part of being in a community.
Yeah, you got to mean it, though. I mean, you can't just, read the handbook on how to be accepted in a community. You have to actually mean it. You have to understand what it means to be part of a community. And if you don't feel like you can, then maybe it's better you don't try to, until you feel ready. Because a lot of people, they just don't want to bend to the rules of a group or whatever, and then they are just not group ready.
Yeah. It's Eidolon says, I'm definitely a joiner rather than a builder. That's perfectly fine. And I'll tell you, if we're talking, this is the dichotomy, joiner versus builder. Right now, good joiners are more valuable than good builders. Plenty of good builders out there. We need more joiners. We need more people that are going to come in. They work behind the scenes to administrative things. Or maybe they just show up and help take, help chop wood or cook or
play with the kids.
Play with the kids. Like, that's so valuable. That's like the best. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. And when you get in and you have these traits as just like a good, reliable, helpful member of the tribe, your alderman, your Gavi, is going to lift you up. He's going to love you. He's going to love you. He's going to love your family. He's going to love your kids. And it's going to be a big help, not just him, but to the tribe as a whole and all of the children for many generations. Because you got to keep in mind these organizations that we're building, they're not just like secular churches, right? They're not just you go, you do your Sunday thing, peace be with you, everybody, go fuck yourselves, I'll see you next week. That's not what we're building here. What we're building here are familial institutions of longevity, bloodlines, blood ties. Your children are going to marry each other. These are your children are going to be friends with their children and your children's children. And this is something that your great-great-grandkids are going to inherit. They're going to fly your crest. They're going to be part of this forever and ever. This is till the end of time that we're building. And this is what and that's what makes it primordial. These are primordial things that we're building, not just some secular organization. So you want to make sure that you do it right. And when you come in, you have to understand the gravity and the honor that goes into becoming part of this thing. It's a beautiful thing.
It can also be hard, but that's something that you're just going to have to accept.
Yeah. Everything that is good is hard to get to.
Absolutely. If it's not hard, it's not worth doing. Things that are easy are usually no good. If it's easy,
it's
or
work.
If it's free or cheap, it's usually a piece of crap. So we're actually at an hour. We have, that blew right
wow.
by. Yep. So we're going to do some final thoughts, and then we're going to wrap this up for this evening. So, Ms. Swan, some final thoughts for us, if you have any.
Well, I think that the main thing is to see yourself as, again, as part of a whole. I think I even said that last time. You're not just this atomized unit that can be on their own without any other people. And because of that, you need to understand that you can't piss other people off all the time, because you don't want to be pissed off by others either. So if you want to live in a community, learn to treat people the way that you would like to be treated.
Mr. Andre, do you have any final thoughts for us, sir?
Honestly, I think that has pretty much covered it. I mean, as a final parting notion for anybody who might be curious about it, and I do personally believe that there is definitely some value in it, as both of someone who builds a clan and maybe who wants to join a clan, is to read up on the more unofficial social code that has gotten somewhat infamous in both Norway and Denmark, called the Law of Jante. It teaches a degree of very strict humility, and partially, like, one of the main values it teaches is don't try too hard. Don't try too hard to be special. Don't try too hard to be unique, because that's just going to piss everybody off sooner or later. And that's going to come back to you.
There's nothing wrong with just being regular. We talked about this before the show. You know, there's so many people out there that want to be the intellectual elites, or the elites of that, or the holders of secret knowledge or something like that. Just be regular. What's wrong with regular? I just want to be regular. You know, just let me fire up the grill and drink some pina coladas and stand out on my porch and let me just do me. You know, I don't want to be the holder of some secret knowledge or the intellectual elite. That's too much work. I'm just trying to live my life. Yeah. But picking Gaz.
That's a goal that a lot.
Go ahead.
No, I just think that that's a goal that a lot of people, more people, should strive for. Just live your life and just be content with being normal, average. Stop using average as some sort of slur.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm telling you. You know, here's what's different, and I say this all the time, and I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it a million more times. What is so beautiful and wonderful about our folk faith, about the faith of our ancestors, so beautiful about our worldview and all the things that go into it, is how life-affirming that it is. It's we don't believe in this transcending to this, like, nothingness, nirvana place. We don't believe in the, we believe in the struggle of the cycle, and that it is not some sort of hamster wheel that is endless torture till end of time we're trying to escape. We believe that the struggle of the cycle is good. And that life is good,
right.
And it's a wonderful gift, and it is a gift from the gods that we get to, over and over again, get to experience the wonders and the glory of Earth. And how many times does Odin say about how wonderful it is to be alive? You know, it's a wonderful thing. You get to, over and over again, you know, from birth to rebirth, you get to experience adventure and heartbreak and love and struggle and victory and you know, we got the coolest sandbox RPG ever made in real life with all the DLC, all of it, and the gods just gave it to us because they're great. And they're our parents, and they love us. And we're here to enjoy it. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with just enjoying it, because it's great. So, anyway, that's going to be it for this evening. Excellent show, guys. Much love to Ms. Swan and Mr. Andre. I'm going to raise a horn
Thank
to
you,
our
Dave.
Most... Yes, ma'am,
Dave.
Absolutely. We're going to raise a horn to our most exalted patrons, our very own Andre and Mr. Corey. Hail to each of you folks for helping the Bog stay on air. Much love and many blessings to each and every one of you guys in the chat, for those of you that still do the the solar calendar. I hope you guys had a wonderful or are about to have a wonderful midsummer. If you like the Bog, you support the Bog, make sure to go to patreon.com/thebog and sign up. There's a tier for everybody, $5 all the way up to $50. You can get a sticker and a mug, and most importantly, the RSS feed, so you can get audio of every single show that we listen that we do to listen to in your car, on your commutes, at gym, or at work. If you want to support us another way, make sure to shop.spreadshirt.com/bogshop and grab some sweet merch over there. That's shop.spreadshirt.com/bogshop. You want to support one of our friends, make sure to go check out facebook.com/ironagejodish and check out some authentic ancient Vedic astrology. I'm telling you guys, this stuff will blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. At least go over, give them a like, and check them out. At least go check them out. But if you do decide to get a reading, make sure to tell them Big Dave sent you. Tell them Big Dave sent you. Over at facebook.com/ironagejodish. And then I have one final announcement before we shut down for this evening, and that is going to be I have a really cool project in the works. It's coming to its final milestones here before we get it out, and I'm talking about the Bizarre Archives. Weird tales of magic, monsters, and machines. We are doing a blast from the past, bringing back all of the styles and genres from the old school pulp fiction era of the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and onward, and we are writing in that style. It is a compilation of short stories from authors that write stories that are in the vein of guys like H.P. Lovecraft and Robert E. Howard, Clark Ashton Smith, who else is out there that was doing that stuff? Edgar Rice Burroughs, those kinds of things. We're talking cosmic horror, fantasy, horror, grimdark, all that kind of stuff. We're writing a whole compilation. Actually, folks did write a whole compilation, and it's going to be done very, very soon. Our final deadline for submission is in 9 days on the 30th. So if you are a fiction author, you want to write and submit a short story, get at me. You got 9 days left. If you want to get in on this issue one, get at me on Telegram. We can take care of that. But that book will be available very, very soon. We're going to shoot for in July. We'd like to have it available, and I will let everybody know as soon as that work is available. But anyway, much love, many blessings to every single one of you. I'll see you guys next week. Later this week, on Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, when we have, I believe, Mr. Mike from Imperium Press is going to come on to talk about Beowulf. So I'll see you guys this week. Hail!